Hi, I'm Wendy, and you're listening to PRN, Pause, Renew, Next, a podcast about soul care, scripture, and stories of faith. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and share it with your friends. Enjoy.
Welcome to PRN. Pause, Renew, Next, the podcast. I'm Jenny Detweiler. It was my privilege and honor to get to have on this podcast Mrs. Jackie Perry, who is a licensed professional counselor and now an author. In this interview, we talked all about the ways that God has been moving in her through the writing and refining process. She is one of those people that I hope I can grow up to be like one day, and I know after listening to her, you'll feel exactly the same way. So with that, let's jump into the interview. I'm so excited to have Jackie Perry with me today for this podcast episode. Welcome, Jackie. Would you like to share a little about yourself with our listeners?
Thank you, and sure. So I am a wife of 27 years, and a mom of three adult children. Our youngest, who's about to leave home, is 18, almost 19, then 20, almost 21, and 23, almost 24. One's married. And then I am a counselor, licensed professional counselor and supervisor. I'm also an adjunct faculty member at Lenoir Rhine. I'm doing a little teaching at Montreat College, and I'm a third year doc student at Regent University, getting my PhD in counselor ed and supervision. And yes, it's a lot.
Yeah. Which is why I'm so thankful that you came today and that you had time to do that.
Thanks.
You have been a counselor for a lot of years. Can you share about what led you into that ministry?
Yes. So my dad was a physician. And for as long as I can remember, I wanted to follow in his footsteps. And so I rounded with him as a young girl. I rounded with him as a high school student, went off to college to get a pre-med degree and just kind of go into practice potentially with my dad. And probably like the second to third year in college, in the middle of all those really heavy science classes, I kind of hit a wall emotionally.
I think mentally.
Yeah. And I started hating all that I was doing and kept thinking it's okay. I could see the product of all of that, which would be being by, you know, bedsides of people, which I saw my dad do for so long. And in the midst of that, one night in a prayer group, I really kind of had a major panic attack. It was awful. And yeah, it was an awful moment. And so I ended up in a counselor's office on campus, I think the next day. To make a long story short, this wonderful man, who I need to go back and thank someday if he's still alive, took me through a battery of tests, really sat with me, helped me kind of work through all that I was dealing with, stress as well as I think maybe a dream that was morphing before me. Anyways, he did some career testing and kind of helped me see that what I was drawn to was people more than the science aspect. And so he kind of helped me think about the idea of dropping biology. I was a biopsych double major. So I dropped the biology. And then the Lord just like made it just started like rolling out before me. I didn't know where I was going to go afterwards. I ended up at a campus in Atlanta. Like that's a whole another story, but I ended up at a campus that's now called Richmond, visited it, just knew I was supposed to go there, never applied anywhere else. And so there are little pieces of affirmation and confirmation that came along the way in that season that were like, it felt like one after the other.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the path loosely of how I ended up in counseling ministry.
That's
so
neat.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So specifically, you're well known for looking at counseling for teenagers and adolescents. That's sort of your focus area, right?
Yes.
What led you to that specifically?
I think it was just an internship in college, in graduate school. My husband-to-be, or thought was going to be my husband, was in Young Life ministry full-time. And we were both always drawn to adolescents. And so my first internships were working at residential treatment. I think I was drawn by the resistance in teenagers. I think I saw that as a challenge and sort of, yeah, it just drew me in instead of away. And So I never did anything else. Upon graduation, I started working with college students and then ended up with young children and adolescents in treatment centers, and then thought, well, I'll just do this for a while until I'm not cool or I look like their mom. And now I do, and I still am. And so I think, and I say this a lot to parents, the decade between 12 and 22 is so key for treatment, for growth, for change, for development, all kinds of things, that I feel like it's a privilege to be in that window of my clients' lives, to just sort of help play a role in the Lord shifting them slightly in some area. So,
yeah,
so that's how.
I agree. I love counseling 16 to 22 about that age. There's so much energy and passion.
Yeah, and potential.
Yes, and potential. Okay, so the focus of this particular podcast is your journey of writing a book, which has been
hard.
Long and hard. Yeah, yes. But so good, I think.
Yeah.
And we're all like waiting at the edge of our seats to be able to read this book. So can you talk about what led you from counseling into the process of writing this book?
There's a lot of layers to that, but I will say this. I've always loved writing. I'm not a huge journaler, but as a kid, like I remember in elementary school many years in a row entering storybook contests and writing little stories. And so I think in me, there was always a desire to tell a story or put something together for the benefit of somebody else. And then I'm not sure when that started sort of. Well, actually, I am sure. Like after my third child was born, I started making some steps towards like, I don't know, revisiting some things I'd left behind, some dreams. And so I started writing on my own little kind of like what would be blogs. But back then they weren't blogs, really. And it started brewing. So I went to a writer's conference in Charlotte. This was a long time ago. So I'm thinking this was like, it actually was before number three, so probably 2000. Anyways, a long time ago, it was not a good experience. And I felt very not affirmed, picked apart. And I left really kind of broken. Like I was not meant to be a writer or a speaker. And so I sort of shelved that. And I think it was really, I couldn't take some feedback that they were giving me that felt a little heavy on the critical side. I didn't know how to come out of that and take it and receive it. So it went dormant for a while until I met a friend who'd gone to another writing conference and was just talking about it. And I think I shared with her just this longing I'd had for so long. So she encouraged me to go to this one that she went to every year called Blue Ridge Christian Writers Conference. I think it's called Mountain Christian Writers Conference in the Asheville area. So the year I decided to go, she didn't go. Her name is Angie Peisel. She actually is the author of two books right now. And she was a huge inspiration for me to go to that first one. And I remember going, knowing nobody, and getting out of my car. And it was like these moments I've had in my life, and I haven't had tons, but I felt immediately, like literally stepping out, you're a writer. Like I just felt that you're a writer. And I remember thinking, okay, I'm supposed to be here. And so I met people, I was affirmed, I met who is now my agent, David Van Deest, and was very affirmed by him. I was like, this is so easy. Like, what in the world? Like, this is great. Like, I'm getting affirmed, I have great ideas. And so at that first conference, I was invited by David to send him a pitch, which is a long process of sort of like 20 to 30 page kind of paper that's about your book. So I did, and that was in 2011, and it's 2019.
Yeah. So I remember you winning some.
That was 2014. Yes. Okay. And different conference.
Okay.
Yeah. So it started in 2010 with that first conference, which led to a second conference, which led to me sending him book chapters and him really saying it needed more work, wrong direction, dry, kindly saying these things, and then me hitting a wall, I think at the third year of going to a writer's conference and crying and praying with my husband one night and saying, I feel like I'm supposed to write this book, the book that I wrote. And the reason I felt like I was supposed to write this book was because it was not something I could find out there to give my clients and their parents.
Yeah.
The book was originally going to be written for teens. I just didn't find anything that existed that talked about the subject matter of the book for this age group.
And parents are the ones that need the information.
Right. And so it switched to a parenting book on the advice of my agent, who said parents buy books, not teenagers. So if you write the book for your parents, if you write the book for parents and then write a second book if you want, tailored towards teens, parents, after they read your book, are more likely to buy it for their teens, which made sense to me, but it kind of shifted. So that's why I wrote the book, and I felt very invited by the Lord. It's never been a burden. I think I felt like it's been a burden, but I feel like he's invited me all along on this journey to write this. So after the third conference, when I did all kinds of things, from hiring somebody to work with me to going to an intensive and still not writing a product that was not just to me not okay, but even to the people who I entrusted it with, it was not where it needed to be. I hit a wall again and asked and said to John, I feel like the Lord is asking me to climb Mount Everest, and I don't know how to do it. I can't get past the base. And so his words to me, and I can picture exactly where we were and just how I felt. He was like, okay, so what would you do if in your life, if you couldn't, you know, if you couldn't do the task, you would hire somebody to help you. And so I was like, I feel like we've already done that. So I did. I found an editor. I found somebody who helped me. I took a year and a half off of work. And I would love to say all this ended in a great place. It didn't. None of it produced the book. And I shelved the book and decided it was okay. The Lord was not disappointed with me. And so in 2012, so I think it actually started in 2010, because by 2012, 2 years later, I'd shelved the book, for good, and decided my kids were getting older. One was about to graduate, and it was time for me to write other things and focused on them.
Because we work together, I have kind of watched you walk some of this journey. And so I know that there have been some hiccups kind of along the way.
A lot.
So I was wondering, both rewards and hardships, what have been some of the unexpected things that you would not have foreseen?
If somebody had told me back in 2010, I think was the beginning of this, maybe even 2009, that this thing that I started would take 10 years, I wouldn't. Number one, I wouldn't have believed them. Number two, I think I would have instantly felt some shame, and unfortunately, and some sorrow. Like, why can't I? Like, why is it going to take me that long? So that's been unexpected. And I think back then versus me now, thought I had it in me to do something faster than this. Like, I thought I had the skill set. I thought, like, what's wrong with you, Jackie? You do hard things and then you come out on the other side. And this, even though I'm on the other side soon, it has completely, this is where I'm going to start crying, it has completely changed me for the better, but it has been hard. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I was prepared for how much this would touch my stuff, my junk. And perhaps that's why the invitation came so gently and repeatedly from the Lord, you know? Not so much about product, but process.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's the hard part in life.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And it seems like most of the hard things he calls us to do come with sort of a passion at the beginning that then we can follow through to a marathon.
Yes. It was a naive sort of like, this doesn't happen to people. Like, I got an invitation to be an agent, like signed with an agent. This is amazing. This is easy. People say this is hard. And I, you know, God protects us. So I needed some of that.
Yeah. So as you've gone along throughout this process, how has the Lord encouraged you or brought people alongside you that have given you, like, as you've shelled it, the breath of fresh air you need to keep going?
So I think all along, I do feel like this has been an invitation and not a burden. I have battled that with people out loud with the Lord. And I think that's taken the pressure off. I felt like the Lord has said, like, I invite you to co-labor with me in life, and I'm not putting a noose around your neck to do this, or tying you to something, tying you down. And so I think that kept bringing me back to it, honestly, was like, the invitation is open. And I think sometimes we don't have that privilege where, you know, the window closes and there's no longer a way to go back to something. But this invitation, I felt like never ended, which for me as a performer and somebody who feels like achievement is a big deal, doing things, starting and finishing. The negative side of that is like, this isn't going away, is it, Lord? So I better just like push through. And all along the way, there have been many people who have been, some not even knowing, like huge encouragers, saying the right thing. In fact, just like last week when I was talking to or emailing one of the editors that I work with, the acknowledgement section in the beginning of this book is embarrassingly long. And it's because there's a lot of people listed and like a new set of people as I moved that needed to be listed that were never a part of the beginning of the book. So that's just the sweetness of God that He brings these people that I couldn't have foreseen. I'll tell you, the book is dedicated to my husband. And because he's, now we get sad again, excited or whatever, Tinder. John has been there. Like, he's just been this voice of encouragement. Not you have to, but you can if you want. I'm here. What do you need from me? How can I support you? How can we change our life? You need to take a break from work? Okay, let's take a break from work. What do you...
That's a blessing.
It's a treasure. Yeah. So, yeah. And even hard criticism and hard, like an editor... My editor's name is Betty Hassler, and it's a funny last name because she is Hassler. She has hassled me in a beautiful way and sometimes in a hard way. Challenged me. You can do this. What's going on inside of you? What can we talk about? Why is this, you know? So, and then, I mean, you know, just even like my own walk with, like my quiet times, and you just... When you've been walking with the Lord as long as I have been, since I guess I'm 14, it's funny. Like everything becomes like, oh, how funny. This is like perfect timing. It's like billboards all around you. So yes. Sermons, the study you happen to be signed up for with a women's group, the devotional you pick up. It's manna. Mm-hmm. And so there's always been that.
That's good.
Along the way.
Has there been a scripture passage that has been encouraging to you through this process or that you just really hold on to in life?
There is a verse I hold on to in life, and it's funny because it seems to apply to everything. So that's a good sign of a life verse. Yeah. So I have a life verse. It's kind of long. It's Psalm 73, 25 through 28. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and portion forever. Those who are far from thee will perish. I think something about you will destroy all of those who are wicked. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I will make the Lord God my refuge so that I may tell of all his works. So that's kind of rough in terms of, but that verse, pieces of it, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. This book is about the heart of our teens. And as I've been writing it, God has refined my heart and reminded me of just...
That's amazing how he does that.
So that's been a huge verse for, like, it's been my life verse, but it's that little section of like, you're the strength of my heart. You are it. And so as I feel like my flesh isn't enough, it's failing repeatedly, and it did. I've shared pieces of the failures. There's been a lot. So... going back to this inner place, this I like to call it the core place within us with teenagers of mind and spirit. I just feel like there's just been this refining and strengthening for me. And God's used that verse. So that's my life verse. And that's been sort of a little pieces of, like even the ending. As for me, there's this nearness of God is my good.
I've made you. I was going to talk about telling of the good works, because here you are.
Yeah. I was just about to say, exactly. That I may tell of all your works. Yes. Yeah. I've made you my refuge. And I do feel like that's been very true of this journey. It's just been messy. Mm-hmm. And I've had people say good things, but people who've said unhelpful things, like, why is this so hard? It's like, you already have it written. Just write it. And that's very, it wasn't coming from a shaming place, but I've had left many of those conversations feeling really small. Really small. And so again, that's my work, not theirs. It's my, like how I receive that, that I kind of feel like the Lord has used. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, you have such a charisma that I think you make things look easy.
I've heard that a lot as I share kind of my messes in parenting, in our marriage, and in this process. I do think people have projected on me something that I probably project to them, but is not true of necessarily who I am. So mm-hmm. I also think that God's used that to sort of allow me to just share some of the brokenness, mm-hmm. hard places in me. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm excited to say that this is going to be a two-parter. So I hope that you'll join us again in the next podcast when Jackie is going to share some about what the content of her book is. And I know that there are a lot of people that want to know that, so I'm excited to share that. So surprise, to be continued, a two-parter. I hope you'll catch the second half where Jackie dives into the meat and content of her book. You can look for the second episode in 2 weeks. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share it with your friends. PRN can be found on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, or on our website, pauserenewnext.com. PRN can also be followed on Twitter, Instagram, and we have a Facebook group as well where you can follow updates and new releases. Well, that's all for this podcast. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, Renew, Next, the podcast. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.